Hi, mamas, and welcome back for another episode of Moms with Moms. Moms offering mom support with moms on microphones. If you're new here, we have different cups, so go get a different cup, whatever you want. I prefer coffee cups because it makes me feel like I'm bougie. But get a coffee cup and get something to drink out of, because we're about to talk about some taboo things with postpartum, pregnancy, and parenthood. So I have Dina, a.k.a. Delete If Not Allowed, here with me. I'm going to let them introduce themselves a little bit, and then obviously you guys see Jordan.
I'm back.
She's back again. You guys know Jordan by now. So tell us about you guys.
Oh, well, thanks for having us, first of all.
Of course.
So my name is Corey.
I'm Rachel.
We're from Delete If Not Allowed, or Dina, if you will. We're a mom podcast too, and we really focus on kind of like what you guys do, talking about things that maybe aren't necessarily talked about, and like supporting moms, and like what can we really do to make a difference, and just different topics ranging there.
Different like non-traditional paths to motherhood too is something that we focus on a lot. I was a single mom by choice. I chose to have my daughter with a donor so that I could be a mom, because I was very anxious too and didn't have someone in my life. And then shortly after she was born, I fell in love and got married, and now I have a second baby with my husband. So my family came together in sort of a non-traditional way. Corey and I have been friends for a long time, and so this podcast we like just started, I guess, not even a year ago.
In August,
start like talking about some of the things that matter to us and that we talk about regularly.
We wish that people talked about or like told us before we had kids. And like my family came together in a more traditional way, which I didn't necessarily anticipate, but we had kids within 6 months of each other. Didn't necessarily think it was going to happen either. So it all worked out. And here we are.
And I actually reached out to them because I loved how I think it's great to have different moms come together, because everybody has different experiences, but also similar experiences. So I thought it'd be really cool for us to join. And when we were talking, we decided to talk about postpartum bodies and intimacy. So get ready, because this is about to be real freaking juicy.
Spicy, buckle juicy, up, whatever you want to call it.
I do ask all of my people who come on to tell us three things about you, just to like get to know you, that's not mom related, because you are someone outside of mom. So what are three things that we should know about you guys?
Well, I think the first thing is that we've been friends since we were sophomores in high school. So we tried to do the math.
Wow.
I have an English degree, so it's hard for me. But and it's 16 years and maybe some change that we've been friends. So like, and we have been through
the thick of it.
Like the high of the high, the low of the lows, all like seeing each other at various states. So we've been through it.
Yeah. And then the second thing that I'll share is a highlight moment in our friendship, which was Corey promising me that I would be maid of honor in her wedding bathroom of a casino in Atlantic City while we were drunk.
Were you?
She was like,
yeah,
and I was.
And okay.
You know, just, you know, again, we met in high school. That was sort of a snapshot of where our friendship landed. I don't even know when that was, but over a decade ago.
We had every single class together 1 year, just by happenstance.
Yeah.
And then I am an only child, which is very different from you. So we just, even though we're best friends and we parent the same way, I think we just have very different perspectives.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing you should share is that you are pregnant.
Oh, and I am pregnant.
She is.
Hello. So postpartum body image is very much on my mind right now.
When are you due?
First week of June.
Okay. So you'll be dealing kind of what we're talking about right in the summer.
In the imminent. Yeah, summer, my favorite time to deal with postpartum bodies. I love it.
It's great to be pregnant, though, during the winter.
Oh, yeah.
Because chunky sweaters, leggings.
You're just not sweating, which is great. Like, being pregnant in the summer is like, the seventh circle of hell. So I think I didn't time it out on purpose that way, but I think it panned out pretty well. First week of June, I get off the August
train. Before it gets too hot.
Yeah.
I had my son.
That was you, unfortunately.
Right, yeah. I had my son in April, and so I was pregnant, like, end of August, September-ish. I never had to deal with the really hot.
Yep.
Yeah. As someone who had both children in September and October, third trimester, July and August, it was rough. I will say, though, that like my pregnancy body, I really came to enjoy and love. And I loved, you know, I had maternity bathing suits. Like I had a lot of like cute summer dresses that
were like in your era.
I loved being pregnant. I loved feeling my baby. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I was totally also ready to give birth and get my child on the other side. But in terms of like going to work pregnant, because the first time I was pregnant was COVID and I could just hide out in my house and didn't have to go anywhere. But this time I was like going into the office more and a little more like, but I had some really cute vibes, I feel like, as a pregnant person. And I also got married pregnant, which is something that I didn't expect to do, but we decided to get married 3 weeks before the baby came. And so I was like, oh my God, like, should I do this? And everyone was like, wait till after the baby, because then...
Then you can drink, they say. It's like, okay, well,
you can
whatever.
Drink, but also I feel like behind that, too, was, like, the implication that, you know, you wouldn't, that you'll look different. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, I was just, like, I had a super cute, like, boho, like, you know, hippie girl dress and my bump. It was really sweet. And I'm really happy I did it. But I enjoyed that element of being pregnant, for sure.
Didn't enjoy being pregnant, but I loved my pregnant body.
Yeah.
I loved my pregnant body, but I hated being pregnant. Mm-hmm. I didn't like feelings of everything, the out of control. I didn't like that. But I did miss my pregnant body, and I still miss my pregnant body. Mm. Like, looking back at my belly, I loved my belly. I just don't like the aftermath.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, too, like, being pregnant this time around, like, with my daughter when I was pregnant, it was COVID. So, like, no one would have known that I was pregnant. Like, we were in the era of, like, Zoom and Teams or whatever. Like, everyone only saw me from the chest up. So, like, every meeting I got, they'd be like, stand up and turn to the side and, like, let us see your belly. I'm like, this is...
And you don't carry it. Like, I see your face. No. You don't carry it in your face. Your face isn't swollen. Your face is, like, thin and perfect.
Thank you. It's the contour. I have, like, a belly, but it's not, like, I feel like people, and I, like, have, like, mixed feelings on my pregnant body, right? Like, I'm so lucky. This is a gift. Like, all that good stuff. But it's also, like, okay, I look different. Like, I'm already, like, an overweight person before I was pregnant. So, like, navigating, like, being pregnant when that's your situation can be kind of difficult. Because, like, okay, do I just look like I had too many Cheetos? Or do I look like there's a baby there? Like, you have that weird, like, beer gut time. Like, I hate that part. Like, now that it's, like, okay, I think it's kind of obvious now that, like, I didn't just have a big breakfast. Like, there is something in there.
Yep.
So, like, that's cool. I'm happy when I get to the end part. But, like, people just comment so much on your pregnant body, I feel. And it's just like, who asked you, literally?
Right.
And like, people, they're like, you don't even have a bump. Like, you don't even look pregnant. You don't even this. Or like, oh my, or when you get to the end, like, oh my God, like, that baby's about to fall out of you. It's like, it's on my body. I know. Like, you don't have to tell me. And I just, it's like, people think they have such a license to just say things to you. And it's like, please stop. And that does not stop after you have
or
a baby.
Or touch you.
Don't touch your pregnant woman's belly out there.
I couldn't deal with that. Coming from a different perspective. So I've mentioned this, you know, before on the podcast, and I mentioned to you before we started, I had an IUGR baby, intrauterine growth restricted, if you don't know what that means. And so my pregnancy was really different. Yeah. And I craved wanting to look pregnant. I craved wanting to have that belly because I really didn't look pregnant until my last month. Wow. Maybe 2 months before. I mean, I could tell because I see myself every day, but other people couldn't.
Right.
I was 8 weeks pregnant at my wedding. But at that point, I had been puking so much that I actually was the skinniest I had ever been. Wow. So then, because I didn't get big, I, like, the whole time was like, oh, man, I just want to, like, be able to, like, look pregnant and feel pregnant.
Totally.
I definitely felt it because I was sick all the time. Yeah.
But you feel like almost you're faking it, kind
of. Yes. Yeah. Part of me, I feel like because I didn't look pregnant, I had to explain to people, you know, I'm actually in my third trimester and I'm struggling right now.
Yeah.
You know
tired.
What I mean?
Let me sit down, please.
Well, and I'm sure too, like, again, just the range of insensitive things people say is like, oh my God, well, you look so good. And you're sitting there like,
I'm not having a healthy baby.
Yeah.
I was going
to
say,
I'm not growing. My body is not nurturing my child the way it's supposed to be. And people are like, well, you look great and you're going to bounce right back. You know?
And you're like, thanks, that does zero for my
complex. That is a lie. I hate that.
And I didn't bounce right back either. Like, I'm still not in, like, clothes that I ever was before.
Right.
Which is fine. And I know when we were talking about this topic, a lot of it is how you feel about yourself.
Totally.
You know? So whether people are commenting on your body, which they shouldn't to begin with, I always say, never tell someone, oh, you look great, you look thin. Or, oh, you put on weight. Like, just leave it out.
Yeah.
Like, do you have to
comment? Yeah, like, you
unless
could just, there's a million other
asking.
Things you could comment on. Like, even if you say, like, you're glowing, I'd rather you say that to me than, like, you don't even look. Like, just think about that. And I think there's, like, two, like, narratives, right? It's, like, the bounce back of it all, which, whatever. And then also.
Less people who bounce back.
Well, but it's, like, that takes a lot of work. Like, it's people don't have time for that. Some people's bodies just don't. Or, like, the old me is. I can never get back there, like, and look at that in, like, a negative way instead of a positive way, like...
But are we supposed to be back there? Yeah. Right? Because now we have to carry babies. And now we're, you know, if you're breastfeeding, you're breastfeeding. And your body is not the same because...
Because you went through something completely... Exactly. You got, like, ripped apart.
You grew a human.
And as somebody who tried to conceive for years with a previous partner, you know, I spent so much time at war with my body, hating my body, being mad at my body, that by the time I finally was able to have a baby and, like, you know... I mean, the labor was very traumatic for me, but I remember being in the hospital, like, I just have to go home with a baby. Like, I just hope I'm going to get a baby at the end of this. Like, it was so, like, for so long, right? And then I got the baby home, and I was, like, I was so proud of my body that that happened, that I felt like it was a real, like, postpartum for me was, like, I loved it. And again, my body did look a little different than it had, but my body, again, just, I don't know, for me, like, post being 19 years old, like, and just going through all my fertility journey and different fertility meds and then a divorce and all this stuff, like, my body had fluctuated in a lot of ways, I feel like, through my 20s, that by the time I finally, like, had this baby, I was just like, I love this body. This body is amazing. This body brought me my child. Like, I felt so empowered, so excited. And just, like, I also felt, like, sexy. I really did. And again, I was a single mom. So it's not like I had a partner to, like, through the pregnancy or after to really, like, I don't know, show up for me in any kind of physical consistent way.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I had a lot of that energy that I was just like, I don't know what to do with all this. Like, and I started dating not that long after she was born. And for me, that was like a connection. I don't know if it was all the oxytocin or just me feeling like so good in my body. But I was like, I feel like ready. I feel like I could connect with another human being. I would connect physically with a man right now. And it's very different than the moms that I was talking to who, like, 8 weeks postpartum were like, really struggling to connect with their partner physically, or even now as a mom of two with a 6 month old and a husband, you know, and it's the same, you know, it's very different.
I kind of want to strangle you a little bit.
Yeah. I know. I was out here dating being like, I can't wait. Like, I'm going on the date with this guy. And everyone else was like, I can't communicate with my husband. Like, we haven't had sex in so long. Like, it's really hard.
I remember the choice. I was like, how is she doing this? Like, what is she? Just, like, I think my postpartum experience, like, I had a traumatic labor delivery. You know, I went to therapy, worked through that. But, like, I hemorrhaged when I gave birth. Like, I didn't look pregnant by the time I left the hospital because I lost so much blood. Like, I was sick in the beginning of my pregnancy. So I didn't, like, gain a lot. Like, I also didn't look super pregnant just because I had my body went through a lot of changes. My people would always say to me, they'd be like, oh my God, it doesn't look like you had a baby. And that was so invalidating. Like, same. Yeah, I did. And it was really hard. Like, I had a really, it was physically tough. Like, I'm tired. Like, I would be like, well, there's stitches there. Like, you could look. But, like, just, like, why do people think, like, you look great? Like, I was wearing, like, jeans, I think, one of the days. But it was postpartum. It was these jeans I'm wearing now. They're postpartum, or they're maternity jeans. Like, so this is not real. Like, oh, you're wearing jeans. That's so brave. Postpartum. Shut up.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, don't say anything. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out who I am now. I remember, like, I kept looking in the mirror and be like, it does look like I had a baby. Like, what did that really happen? Because, like, COVID already, you're just, like, in such a twilight zone. Right. And it just, like, makes you question everything. And, like, it's just so invalidating of the experience you had, which I'm sure, you know, you can relate to as well. But
I had the completely opposite than all of you guys. So I was a size 2 before I got pregnant. And again, I told you guys, my pregnancy, I loved being pregnant. It was great. 8 weeks after I gave birth, went to the doctors, did the checkup, whatever, and I was breastfeeding. So I'm like, I'm going to lose the weight. This is going to be great. It's just going to fall off of me. 12 weeks went by. The scale did not move. My body did not change. The hardest part for me was not fitting into any of my clothes because this body is not an extra small no more. I can't wear little kid clothes. And I had a really, Jordan knows this, I go back and forth still. And it's not, I accept it a lot more now. I don't know how to style my body because I'm not that stick figure. I will say I love my boobs. I really have boobs now, so this is great. I don't have to wear push-ups. But I don't love any part of this. I have felt so uncomfortable. Intimacy sucked for a little while because I was uncomfortable with myself. I'm like, how can you love my body compared to what it was?
Yeah.
Because it changed so much. So for me, it was, I had to learn how to love my body. I also used to be a big body lifter and, like, lifting and cardio and everything. I finally just now I'm starting to do it. And I think it's because I'm, like, okay with my body.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yeah, this is fine. I just need to learn how to style it because it's just not.
Well, it's so different also. Like, it's just.
Yes.
like learning to accept that, like maybe the things that you used to love, like you just right. don't love anymore, and that's okay. Yes. But it's like, who am I? Like,
and yes. you're busy, like you know what yeah, I mean. Like, the, yes. I think that's the thing is like there's such a. I just went on a work trip, and for 2 days, like I was just like, you know, trying to be on a work trip and manage my work and manage my time and my schedule and our recording and our podcast. And I was like, this is really hard, and I'm just taking care of myself. Right. Like my normal job is taking care of other human beings too, like my children, like and yep. you know, and my dog, and you know, like managing all these things. So it's like, that has got to be a really big shock, because there's no similar sort of frame of reference. Like every life, as you know, it has completely shifted. And I think that like, it's got to be really disorienting to not be able to feel like yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that like emotionally and hormonally, we all go through those changes. But for me, like the physical connection into my body, again, like I was able the first time around to really dig into like a feeling of empowerment and you know, enjoy in my body.
Do you think it's because you didn't have a partner?
You know, it's like very interesting. I don't know. Like I think about that a lot is like, I mean, when I think back to single motherhood by choice, one of the best things I feel like about it, because, you know, not everybody in my life understood it. And some people felt like, you know, it's a little absolutely. Selfish to do it maybe. And, you know, to be so intentional about bringing a child into the world. And, you know, I had a lot of support, but I didn't have a ton of like extra resources. You know, there is privilege in being able to make that choice for sure. But it wasn't like I was just, you know, had a ton of money and was like, I'm just going to do this. But it was like really important to me to do it. And one of the things I loved about the experience of doing pregnancy alone and the first 6 months of raising a child alone is you do whatever feels right. Like literally, you don't want to cook, you don't cook. Yep. There's dishes in the sink, leave them for 5 days. Like
who cares?
You know, like literally there's no one else in the house but you and this baby. Like you think that you want to try it this way, you don't have to talk to anybody. Like,
well, that's what I'm wondering, because you're not sitting there saying like, okay, where are you at? Where's your head at? Yeah. How are you feeling?
Yeah.
And it's not like Jordan and I talk about this a lot. We have phenomenal partners. Mm-hmm. There are things that they do that really piss us off and really irritate us. That's why I'm wondering if, like, the first time around, you didn't have that person where you had to worry about those
things. And I didn't have to worry.
You didn't have to show up for that person.
I didn't have to show up for them. I didn't have to worry about them shifting how they saw me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and this is what I always say about my husband is he met me when I was 8 weeks postpartum. So he only knows me as a mom. Like, whereas a lot of couples, it's a big shift, like of who you were before kids and then after. Yes. And for him, it's like, I always joke, I'm like, you haven't seen me like without postpartum hormones. Because what happened is when my daughter was a few months after one, we got pregnant, like with our second. And so like they say it takes 2 years for your body to and everything. And I'm like, you haven't seen it yet. Like, you know what I mean? We like joke about it. But at the same time, I think I am really grateful, and it's really different this with a second baby, because now I have a partner. And one of the biggest things for me, literally postpartum, like days home from the hospital, that I felt, and I remember texting you about it, it was like, I need him to like physically comfort me.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't talking about like anything sexual, but I wanted and craved that like intimacy of just like, come here, like get in my arms, like. But we're wrapping our arms around our two babies. And I remember, like, and even still, like, it's something really hard for me. And also, you're both
absolutely exhausted.
We're exhausted. And we're dividing and conquering now between two people. And it's, like, good that there's the two of us because we have two babies. But, like,
there's nothing left. But when you're doing man-on-man coverage, like, you can't have the coach's conference. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that doesn't work that way.
And totally.
Like, I'm like, oh, like, how's that going to go this time? Because last time it was, again, like, COVID, it was different, like, you know, and I didn't feel like my body changed a whole lot, but I didn't feel comfortable with it after, and I was just like, what do I do with this? But like, my husband didn't see me that way at all. Like, he saw me as just like, you're beautiful, you're so beautiful, I'm so attracted to you, like, I love you, da-da-da, which was great, and I love that, and I was so thankful we didn't have to go through that. I feel like I had to, kind of like you mentioned, I had to accept myself first before I was like, okay, we can allow things to happen.
Side note, Jordan and I were not friends until we became moms. Like, we did not know each other until mommyhood, and it was, Jordan's like my best friend forever now, because it just, the mom chemistry was there, we parent very similar, we were raised very similar, which was really weird, because it's like, whoa. So we finally started like getting close to about like talking about those things, and she said one night, and I said to her, I was like, yeah, like it's still painful to have sex, and it's horrible because it's like you want to have sex when you're finally at the point you're like, yes, let's go,
but then after you're like, oh, maybe I don't,
and it's like, oh my god, this is horrible, like this hurts, this is uncomfortable, like I can't even enjoy this.
And then that even just fucks with your mind even more.
Yes.
Yeah. Body's just broken now, I guess.
That's like, exactly how I've been feeling. Yes. Because for me, it's pure exhaustion.
Yep.
And I love my husband, but, like, I'm, like, at the point where I'm, like, sometimes, like, don't even look at me. You know, because I'm tired. I brushed my teeth. Exactly.
Well, like being touched out, which I remember hearing that phrase before I was a mom, and I was like, "How does that even happen?" It's like, no, it does.
Yeah.
But like, I
the ick.
Yeah. Also, just like there's sometimes where I'm like, don't. To like, I know you're like trying to hold my hand over, but just like, don't.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna just fake snore. So
I don't know. Do I that. Feel like I feel like I'm like, and this is the other thing though, guys. Like I'm a newlywed. Do you know what I mean?
Say,
like,
it's different.
And so I'm craving. I feel like we're both craving intimacy so much all the time, and there's just no time for it. And then when there is, there's so much pressure on that moment. Like, you know, because it's like we finally get a night alone or something, which I think has happened like once, and I was recovering from surgery through it.
The baby's finally sleeping through the night, and you know they're not going to wake up.
Yeah, or you're just like, you're like looking at the monitor, and you're like, when does this end?
We got 10 minutes.
Like, when is she going to wake up? She's been sleeping tonight for 8 weeks, but like tonight feels like the night she doesn't. Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, I felt very fortunate. Like after I had a baby, like sex did not hurt for me. It felt better for me. Like it was, I was like, okay, like this is great. Like love this, but. But and knowing that, but also knowing that I'm so fucking tired.
Yeah.
That, like, I just don't want to do that anymore. We can't, go out and have date nights or do, like, the fun, wild things you used to do, like, when you didn't have children. And it's just, like, that whole part of your life is just scrapped for a minute.
Yeah.
And when you're in the thick of it, it's like, I'm never going to get that back. Like, what is my intimate life going to be like? And it does come back in a way.
I was going to say, though, I think that, like, we're all still in the throes of it.
Yeah.
Your kids are, like, not even a year,
They're
right?
not a year.
Okay.
No. So yours are, like, what, just a year?
I have 2.5 and a 6-month-old.
And you're pregnant.
I'm pregnant.
You're pregnant. Literally. And my daughter just turned 3. So, right. like...
Yeah, so we're all still in it.
Yeah, so you're all in it. And, like...
And people say it's, like, the... Like, with your partner, it's the most difficult, like, a year or two after having a baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so Josh and I keep reminding ourselves that, like, we love each other, we're good, but, like, there are days where it's just, like, man, because you know what? We used to be, like, friends first, and now it's, like, we have to be parents first.
Yeah.
Mm.
And friends, you know, so we're trying to kind of intertwine that.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, right now, maybe we are not at that point, but we have to be partners to get through this.
Well, and the phrase, also before I had children, I didn't really understand it, or when I was a single mom, the roommate phase.
Yes.
Like, that feels very relatable now. Because,
yeah, we don't even
like,
sleep in the same bed, because my son wakes up literally 5 to 10 times a night still,
because
he's getting tubes in his ears now. He's getting all these ear pains.
So much.
So my husband works, and I'm very grateful that, you know, right now I don't have to, but that means that I'm doing every night shift.
Yeah.
So my husband's upstairs in our room and I'm in the guest bed, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And I work overnights, four nights a week.
Yeah.
And it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sundays.
Oh,
and my boyfriend works Monday through Friday and has to wake up at 5 a.m.
So it becomes like, it has to be so intentional, right?
It really is. Like we went on a date for the first time in over 6 months when we were at my mom's. So even if we wanted to be sexually active, we were at my mom's house.
Yeah, it's like, that's not,
in my brother's bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
a twin bed.
Say that's
someone's going to fall off.
Well, and
that's a real boner killer right there.
The moms,
that's not.
Moms
and we share
talk
the room
to.
With the baby. The baby's right there.
Oh, and you feel so guilty too with the baby's right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, you have to gauge. I guess every kid is different of how long till they're that aware. I feel like Lola
I could never do it.
Oh, really?
I felt so fucking
You're like, well, I can't relate.
No judgment here. No judgment.
No, and there's no judgment. But I just, so she was just like, also like a very like loud sleeper, right? So like.
Yeah.
Distracting.
I just.
Takes a lot of focus.
Well, like, I don't, like, the baby grunting and me trying to do my thing, like, it's just not going to work. Like, but we did kick her out of our room when she was 7 weeks old, so that helped us.
Well, that's the thing. I co-slept. And so when I first had Lola, it was
literally
Lola and I against the world. And I was like, I remember when I first, things started going really well with my husband.
Yeah.
I was like, so would you, like, want to stay over? It was New Year's. I invited him over. And I was like, do you want to, like, stay over? And he was like, well, where would I sleep? And I was like, well, you could sleep in bed with us if you want. And he was like, I don't feel comfortable sleeping in bed with you and your daughter. And again, remind everyone, she was 3 months old. You know what I mean? So I was like, well, you can sleep on the the couch if you want. But, like, the solution wasn't going to be that I moved my baby. Yeah. Like, you know, like, this is, and it was even funny. Our first Valentine's Day, he gave me, like, a stuffed animal, and he said it was, like, it was a mom and baby, and he thought they were two, but they were sewn together. And he was like, this is just very fitting for you and Lola. Aww. Like, he got and respected that, like, I waited my whole life to do this. Right. Yep. She and I were, like, attached at the hip. And so he was coming into that dynamic. But eventually, and I wasn't going to change it for anyone. Yeah. And I love him. And, you know, I did, for Lola, she was so independent. And it did make sense to transition her to the crib. But this time around, Annabelle, she's been super sick, like, since she's been born with your garden variety daycare illness, RSV, COVID, flu. We've had it all.
He's had everything. Rhino, the stomach bug. Like, it just hasn't stopped.
And, like, and when you're watching your kid, like, be sick like that and suffer, right? It's horrible because there's nothing you could do.
No.
Like, we had to go to the hospital a couple times in the alley, and it's just like.
Well, and they can't tell you what's wrong.
They can't tell you what's wrong.
You just, you know, like, something's not right. And then sometimes they'll be like, oh, it's just a cold.
And you're,
this is a horrible cold.
Well, but then sometimes it's a cold, but then 5 days later it's not.
Yes.
So it's like, and so you're using all of your brain power to be like, okay, like, what's wrong with my kid? How do I fix it? And then when you're like, also, if you have to, like, spend time in the hospital, if they get admitted, like, and then you're a part that's really stressful because only one parent can stay. And, like, my husband was like, well, I'll stay. And I'm like, I love you.
But no.
But you can't. Like, I have to do this. Also, like, you have a sleep apnea and a CPAP machine. Like, you
bring it in.
Yeah. But, like, also, like, you just, you are a heavy sleeper. Like, you don't wake up. Like, you can't. Like, I had to, like, get in the hospital with her because she was, like, shaking the crib. It was a whole nightmare. But it's, like, so all of your energy is expended on, like, making sure your kid's okay first because you should, I mean, there's a debate of who do you put first, your kid or your husband, which is a different story, but
let's
like
not answer that.
I feel like we don't need to and we all agree. So
well, you know what's actually really funny, so I had a much harder time postpartum the second time, and I remember saying to my husband, like, you know, just the emotions, you know, like I'm also just, I have a partner who, and I'm not making generalizations here, but I have a partner who, I am very feelings based. Everything to me is about how I feel. And I have a partner that's very logic based.
Yes.
And so, like, he'll be like, okay, but that's how you feel. And I'm like, right.
Which
everything.
That's it.
Like, that's all that matters. Yeah,
which is my existence.
And he'll be like, oh, but that's just a feeling, right? So, like, we've had to work through some of that. And we're still getting to know each other while parenting two kids, which is wild. I understand why people do it the other way around. Because it'd be really nice to have that foundation to go back on and be like, you know, well,
right.
I know you. We've been together 5 years. You've seen me through this, this, and this, right? Like, some of this stuff is brand new. On the other hand, he never is able to mourn an older version of our relationship, either of us or each other.
Well, you don't have anything to compare it to, which is kind of a blessing. And then when your kids are older, you'll have that time together without them.
But I remember saying to him at one point, you know, just like sobbing and just being like, you know, I feel like it's just really hard to figure out how to show up as, like, both a mom and a wife. And he said to me, he was like,
and an employee.
Oh, yeah. And a daughter and a sister and a friend and a podcast co-host. Yeah. And, you know, and so,
this is the relationship I stress about the least.
And they don't understand that.
Well, what Jay said to me,
they don't feel like they have to turn themselves in so many different directions.
No, they don't have to because they can just be a man everywhere. And it's like, great, you're here.
They can go take a shit without having to hold their baby at the same time.
And everyone will be like, oh my God, what an active father. You're just like,
but what Jay, our men are great dads.
We all agree on that.
They are. But they're pains in the ass.
But what Jay said to me that I'll never forget is he said, he was like, if there are moments where you have to choose between being a good mother and being a good wife, always choose being a good mother and never apologize for that. And that was like the kindest thing he could say to me because I literally just felt like, I don't know how to show up in this marriage right now. And he was just like, and so in a way it was great and permission for me to just lean into what I know how to do, which is like be mama bear. The problem is, or whatever, the reality is that the thing that has been prioritized the least is our connection.
Yep.
And
that's
so,
still, even if everyone's like, okay, this is how it has to be right now, that still doesn't make it any less difficult on you and everybody else, right? Like, and we've had to go through like a lot, like I joke, like I can never do anything simple in my life because I just can't, like,
me either.
It's like, we've had to have a lot of these like really stressful situations and like, we've had to like have these conversations of like, okay, like what is going to happen? Like we had a scare earlier in this pregnancy where they thought I had developmental cords and that baby would probably be IUGR.
Yep.
And like, you know, we have to deliver them early and da-da-da. And like, if you look at developmental cord, like, first of all, don't Google it. But it's terrifying.
Stay
and like,
off Google.
they said to us, like, stay off Google. My husband was like, okay. And he did. And I was like,
not me.
Walking to the car, beep, boop, beep, boop, bop. I was like, Chris, this is terrible. Like, what happens? Yeah. They're just like, well, they told us not to Google. It's like, let's not. They said it's going to be okay because of, like, where it is.
I
said,
I need to know what could happen to my baby.
Well, like, I'm like, the blind faith you have in this woman.
Right.
Like, I trust nobody. Like, it's just, like,
I trust Google.
But I trust Google, and I trust moms on message boards because that's clearly valid. But we had to have that conversation when I got home, and it was just so emotional for me because I was like, I can't, like, this was, like, a pregnancy after a loss. Like, I just couldn't fathom, like, anything else going wrong. I was like, I can't do anything else around the house. He was like, well, tell me what you need to do. I said, look around and pick something.
You do it.
That thing. You live here.
So talking about Google is I'm in the social work field. So we did a lot of research before finding out that I was pregnant and then going through trying to figure out, okay, what are the signs of postpartum depression, anxiety? So that way we could prevent it. Joke's on us. And it happened. And it wasn't until like 13 weeks I realized I was really struggling, but I didn't want to bring it up because Jimmy was working and going to school. He wasn't doing nothing. He was helping when he could, but I felt it was on me because I was out on maternity leave because I got 20 weeks of maternity leave. So I was out. I wasn't working. It's our duty to do those things and step in because they're doing the other thing. And then one day I had a mental breakdown and he was like, you are not okay. Go get a coffee. All I did was go get a coffee, came back home. One, I was ready to come back home, but I felt like a brand new woman.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important too, is like people don't talk about how you do need to take a break by yourself and not going to the grocery store.
And not taking a shower.
And not taking a shower.
You're like, oh, like let mom have a shower. It's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Leave the freaking house without anybody.
Yeah.
And I think though that I think that similarly, I guess, I feel like it's my responsibility to communicate that to my partner, like, when I need it.
Is.
And it's really hard.
Yes.
And I feel like people would just be like, well, just say it. And it's like, it's hard for me. I'm just, before kids, it was hard for me to identify what my needs Correct. Were.
And then you get to the, like, comparing part.
Yes.
So that's something
the
like
competition.
Josh and I have really had to work at and still work at every day. It's like, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this. Instead of looking at it, like, now we call it the we. So we try and say, we are doing this.
What do we need to do together?
Right? Like, Josh might be going to work, and I might be with the baby, but we are doing what we have to do to make this work. Instead of the, well, I slept more, and you didn't sleep at all, and, you know, that comparing.
Yeah. It's hard to not fall into that trap, I feel.
Yes.
Well, and it's hard, like, again, with the idea that it's on the onus of us to communicate our needs. It's hard to not set up an equation where we expect our partners to see. Like, if they really loved us, they would.
Why don't they see that
I'm doing all this and that I need help?
Yeah.
Because they don't.
Because they don't.
Like, they think that we're fine because we're superwomen and we act like we're superwomen.
Yeah.
No, you can't prepare. But you know what? Here's to figuring it out. Right?
Yeah.
And
we will figure it out at some point. You can't prepare. But
speaking of postpartum bodies, loving our bodies, feeding our bodies.
Oh my
fucking
god.
Cake.
Love it.
Because
I love cake.
We can always have cake.
We can always let them eat cake. Let's eat cake.
We're going to enjoy this cake.
Yeah.
You want me
All
to
the
cut
more
it?
Reason.
Yes. Oh, on that note, thank you, mamas, for tuning in for another episode of
Woo!
Moms with Moms. As always, we're surviving and thriving as moms, because that's what we do. Bye, besties.
Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you don't hit the subscribe button, you won't get notifications when I drop something like a video like this or a fun reel or anything. And if you haven't yet, go follow my freaking Facebook and my Instagram. It'll have some nice fun reels. It also has my website, so that way if you're interested in the Mom Network program, you can join. And for the less filtered, real, authentic version of myself, make sure you go follow my TikTok. And as always, mamas, please, 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 if you want to be on the show or if you want to be a part of the mentorship program or you need a mentor, don't forget to DM me, email me, whatever.